Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Discovery Life podcast. This episode is brought to you by the 5-day post-Ramadan live challenge with Sheikh Muhammad al-Sharif. Join today at postramadan.com. That's post, postramadan.com. A 5-day challenge that begins on June 15th till 19th. Join now and get out of the post-Ramadan slump. You're listening to the Discover You Life podcast, where we do just that, through conversations with pretty cool Muslims, people of Dua, of Ihsan, people who found a way to walk their dreams with Islamic excellence. We take you on a path of discovery. This is the podcast where you discover you.
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 I grew up in Winnipeg. I was in high school, and there was a brother who converted to Islam, a black brother in Winnipeg. And he was a big influence on me in my life as I got accepted to Medina University. And he said something to me when I got accepted to Medina University. He said, "You know what, Muhammad, you're going to go to Mecca. And when you go to Mecca, and you pray in the front row of the Kaaba, you're going to be in the front row of the entire world." And so he was excited for me. He was excited for me. And then I got excited. So when I went for my first Umrah, and it was Fajr time, and I kept thinking about what he said, that if you pray in the first row, you're praying in the front row of the entire world. So I did that. And I, you know, it was tight, even though it was just a weekday or whatever. It was, I prayed in the front row. And as I sat there waiting for the salat, I'm like, man, I'm in the front row of the entire world. There were some people sitting beside me, some Asians. And as the adhan started, it came closer and closer to the time for the adhan. And if you know the sounds of the Kaaba, it's like quiet. There's like the buzz of some generators in the back, and you can hear the birds kind of like flying around. It's got a very unique sound to the Kaaba. And so that's the atmosphere. And this is like in the 90s. This is like 1994 when this happened. And then the people who were going to be saying the adhan, they came out with the microphones. There's this big golden microphone that they bring out. And the brother who was carrying the microphone was black. He was Saudi, he was black, and beautiful white though, beautiful black skin, and came out, you know, with the red scarf, and he came out holding the microphone. So the Asian guys who were sitting beside me, they went ballistic excited. They were so happy. They were so happy. It was probably their first Umrah time or something like that. They got so happy because the mu'adhin was black. Then they said, "Well," I heard them saying to each other, and I don't speak Urdu, but they said to Urdu, they said to each other, you guys can correct me if I say this wrong. They said, "Well, Bilal's family, hey." Oh, Bilal's family, hey. They got so excited because they said he's from the family of Bilal radiallahu anhu. And he's going to be saying the adhan. And it actually wasn't him who was saying the adhan, somebody else. But I wanted to start off with that. In Mecca, the people who came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and used to sit with him and used to listen to him. And I want to give you this. You know, in Medina, obviously they used to sit with the Prophet ﷺ in Mecca and Medina, but like Salman al-Farisi radiallahu anhu, who was a slave in Medina, he would work all day in the farms, in the date farms, and then at night when his shift was over and he's about to go to sleep and he'd be off shift, he would go and sit with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and listen to him. So that's how the poor people and the slaves and the blacks would sit in Mecca with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave da'wah to the aristocrats in Mecca. And if they accepted Islam, if the aristocrats accepted Islam, then everybody would accept Islam. And so one time the aristocrats in Mecca said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we will sit with you. and we will listen to you, but you need to get rid of these poor people. We can't sit with blacks. We can't sit with the poor. They need to leave, and then we will sit with you, and then we will listen to you. And the Prophet ﷺ was keen. He wants them to be guided. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. This is in Surah 6, number 52. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا تطرد الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Prophet, ولا تطرد, and do not dismiss الذين يدعون, and الذين, those who, and those who are the poor and the blacks and the slaves in Mecca who would come and sit with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ولا تطرد, and do not dismiss them, do not push them away, do not dismiss them from your gathering. الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي, those who call upon their Lord in the mornings, in the evenings, yuriduna wajha, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, seeking Allah's countenance, seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, مَا عَلَيْكَ مِنْ حِسَابِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ وَمَا مِنْ حِسَابِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَتَطْرُدَهُمْ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you're not accountable for those people, the aristocrats. You're not accountable for them, and they're not accountable for you. So just because you don't push these poor people away, just because you don't push these poor people, blacks, and they say they're not going to believe unless you do so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you're not accountable for them. They're not accountable for you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتَطْرُدَهُمْ, that if you did dismiss them, فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, that you would be one of the wrongdoers. You would be from the zalimins. You would be the tyrants for dismissing them. In the story of the adhan, and like I said, this is a reminder, but we need this reminder. In the story of the adhan, Abdullah ibn Ziyad, radiallahu anhu, he had a dream that he saw the words of the adhan, advising him to the method of how the adhan should be said, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to call the people to prayer. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted it, and he accepted the adhan. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abdullah ibn Ziyad, he said, teach those words to Bilal because he has a more beautiful voice than you. And so Bilal radiallahu anhu, who was a slave and who was black and a freed slave, he became the first muadhin in Islam. And I guys, you know, every masjid in the world, every adhan, every muadhin, all looks back to the first person who had this honor. And Bilal radiallahu anhu was always the muadhin and became the voice and the sound of Medina. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when he said the adhan, he called it for the first time, Umar radiallahu anhu came out. And he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I also saw a dream, and these were the words that I heard. I lived in Medina for many years, and in Medina University, subhanAllah, the most knowledgeable people that I met were the African brothers. The most knowledgeable people that I met were the most African, the African students who came from Ghana, who came from Nigeria, who came from all these Juzr al-Qamar, Cameroon, and all of these countries. In Medina University, they were the most knowledgeable students, and I would look up to them. So in masjid, our university masjid, there was a brother from Africa who used to lead the prayer. And I know when you guys hear Quranic recitation, it's usually like Mecca sounds, Medina sounds, kind of like Saudi type of recitation. And in different countries, you know, when you hear the recitation, you can tell, oh, this person is from this country, this person is from that country. And a lot of people copy like Egyptian recitation, Abdul Basit, that style. But I think what you have not heard, the sweetness of African Quranic recitation. And so alhamdulillah, in Medina University, we used to have Quran students. There's a faculty of Quran, and they would lead the prayers in, these are like the most knowledgeable in Quran amongst the students in Medina University. They'd lead the prayers, and I'd always tell people that there's a sweetness to the Quranic recitation from Africa that you have not heard in Saudi Arabia, you've not heard in these other countries. It's not well known, but when you hear it, it is different and is so beautiful and so sweet. I hope, inshallah ta'ala, to be able to hear that Quran more. The voice of Bilal radiallahu anhu was, you know, like the voice of Medina when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam conquered Mecca and forgave the Quraysh and you know they smashed the idols in Mecca, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Bilal, climb the Kaaba and give the adhan. Climb the Kaaba. So Bilal radiallahu anhu, he climbed up on the Kaaba. This is a black man, the first day of the conquest of Mecca. And Bilal radiallahu anhu is the first person to give the adhan at the Kaaba in all the history of Islam. Was Bilal radiallahu anhu. And that voice of Medina for that day became the voice of Mecca, became the voice of the Kaaba. Now Bilal radiallahu anhu, and I can imagine this, you know, because I used to hear adhans just like, you know, there's somebody who leads the prayer so long or an adhan that you hear so much, it becomes an attachment to it. And that's why when the Muslims conquered Syria and Bilal radiallahu anhu, later when the Prophet passed away and they had conquered Syria, Bilal had moved to Syria. And on Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to Syria, he asked Bilal radiallahu anhu to give the adhan. They say there's two more times that Bilal radiallahu anhu gave the adhan. One was in Syria, and later he came to visit Medina, and he gave the adhan in Medina one time at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. And when he gave the adhan, everybody would come out. He came out. They came out of their homes in Medina crying because of the sound of Bilal radiallahu anhu, who used to remind them of the salah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I want you to imagine this. You know, we go through anxiety and we go through this tension. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to feel anxiety, used to feel tension. And you know what sound he would turn to when he needed to relax and to calm down? He would turn to the voice of Bilal radiallahu anhu. So he'd say, Arihna biha ya Bilal. He would say, relax us and calm us, O Bilal, by saying the adhan. By saying the adhan. Now, just like in the just like when we say Islam and then people start quoting Muslims and you know, for years, you know, in our da'wah, we've always been saying that, you know, you have to separate between Islam and Muslims. And or somebody would say, Alhamdulillah, I learned Islam before I learned about Muslims. Because Muslims, the Quran is perfect. The authentic hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is perfect. But human beings are not perfect. And even at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he had companions who would say things that were jahiliyyah, were ignorance. And so there's the story of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, who got angry at Bilal radiallahu anhu, and he called him. He said to him, Yabn al-Sawda, he said, you son of a black woman. And then the Prophet, and Bilal radiallahu anhu didn't respond to him, but he said, I will tell the Messenger of Allah on you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, are you trying to find fault in him because of his mother? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, who was a great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, innaka mru'un fika jahiliya. He said, you're a person who has jahiliya in themselves. You are a person who has jahiliya in themselves. And it said that Abu Dharr put his face on the ground, put his face to the dirt, and told Bilal to step on his face. Because he's more honorable because of this actions of Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu. And so I want you to understand that this is, and I was very clear, that this is how Islam honored Bilal radiallahu anhu, honored blacks and honored people. And if somebody does opposite than that, that's not Islam. In fact, they're doing haram, just like other harams that they would do. And they need to be corrected for this. The Prophet ﷺ was once sleeping. He had a dream that he entered Jannah. He entered paradise. You have to imagine this. Just, you know, take a moment to this. So the Prophet ﷺ had a dream that he entered paradise, and he heard the footsteps of Bilal radiallahu anhu ahead of him in Jannah. And this is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he heard, and Bilal was black, and he was a slave, and he was freed. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu entered into Islam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I heard your footsteps ahead of me. Like, these footsteps weren't coming from behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were coming from ahead. And he said, by what actions have you done that have granted you this station? And Bilal radiallahu anhu said that whenever I make ablution, I offer 2 rak'ahs of prayer as tahiyatul wudu. So this sunnah of tahiyatul wudu, you see that this the virtue of tahiyatul wudu is from this hadith that Bilal radiallahu anhu, the Prophet ﷺ, saw him in this dream. You know, Bilal radiallahu anhu is tortured for him believing in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and believing in Islam. And he used to say, as we know, he would be tortured in the desert, and he used to say, ahadun ahad, he is one. And he was asked about this, why was he saying ahadun ahad? There are many things he could have said during the torture. And Bilal radiallahu anhu said, I tried different things. I tried to say different things. And the thing that I found, the statement that I found that would anger them the most, which actually meant they would torture him more, that really would get to them, he was psychologically torturing them. He said, the thing that would hurt them the most is when I would say, ahadun ahad, he is one, and that's why I used to say it. And subhanAllah, because of his tawheed and his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gave him this gift of being the first mu'adhin in Islam to call everyone with la, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. In the farewell khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the famous khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where there was 120,000 companions and they're coming from all tribes, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "O people, your Lord is one Lord, and you all share the same Father. Your Lord is one." So it doesn't matter what skin color anybody has. That our Lord is one Lord, and we all have the same Father. Adam and Hawa is the mother and father of every human being. Allah, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, indeed, there's no superiority of an Arab over a non-Arab, or of a non-Arab over an Arab, or of a white over a black, nor a black over a white, illa bittaqwa, except in taqwa. And so this was the declaration that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that nobody has superiority over the other person except with taqwa. And the interesting thing about taqwa is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who truly has taqwa. And so therefore the superiority is only in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'll finish off with this this last reminder. And that's when Bilal radiallahu anhu, 1 second. When Bilal radiallahu anhu was on his deathbed and his wife was, you know, crying, and Bilal radiallahu anhu told her, don't be sad. She said, you know, what a great grief. And he said, Bilal radiallahu anhu said to her, wa taraba, what a great joy. And so he's on his deathbed, and Bilal radiallahu anhu is narrated to have said, ghadan alqal ahibba Muhammadan wa hizba, that tomorrow I will meet my beloved ones, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions. And so he was his companion in this dunya and his companion in the hereafter. And so Bilal radiallahu anhu was Sayyiduna. And the interesting thing about Sayyiduna, you'll see it translated as leader. You know, as you say, Sayyiduna Abu Bakr or Sayyiduna Umar or Sayyiduna Bilal radiallahu anhu. Sayyiduna actually means our master, like slave master. And so instead of the way that they were treated as slaves before, they became our masters, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And with that, I conclude. I just want to give my words of support for all our brothers and sisters and what's happening in the U.S. and around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct the situation, and a reminder for all my brothers and sisters here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kunu qawwamina lillahi shuhada bil qist," that we stand for justice. And we support that the justice, no matter who it is, even if it's against our own selves, we stand up and support that justice. Maybe I don't have the best voice in this topic, but I encourage you all to find those voices and support them and forward their messages and help spread the word, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khairan. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته